we're going to be discussing two Bishvat, related topics. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah mentions the fact that there are a number of different Roshei Chodeshim. Number one, the first day of Nisan, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, as the Torah mentions. What is it a Rosh Chodeshim for? So, number one, it's Rosh Chodeshim for Regalim. It's also Rosh Chodeshim and writing a shtar and saying, you know, the fifth year of David HaMelech. So you count the fifth year of David HaMelech from Aleph Nisan. The next Rosh Hashanah mentioned in the Mishnah is Aleph Elul, also a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah as far as Ma'aser Behemah. In other words, Behemot that were born up until that point are part of the, you know, 1 year's group, so to speak, in order to be Mafish Ma'aser Behemah. And after Aleph Elul, they're part of the next year's group. Aleph Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, is what most people call Rosh Hashanah, but in reality the nature is it's Rosh Hashanah meaning Yom HaDin. According to, I think it's Rabbi Elazar, it's the day that the world was created. It's also significant halachically as far as Arla and Ravai. If you plant a tree, a fruit tree, the first 3 years, the Torah tells us the first 3 years is a din of Arla, meaning even if it were to produce fruit, which is rare, but even if it would produce fruit, it would be also, there's an Isur Hanah on the fruit, not just an Isur Achila, but Isur Hanah on the fruit itself. And the counting of those years is based around Aleph Tishrei. In other words, if you successfully got a plant to root before Aleph Tishrei, so that it lived rooted 1 day before Aleph Tishrei, so it's already started its first year. Halachically, you would have to plant it before Tu B'Av. Okay? In other words, 30 plus 15 days, 45 days before Alf Tishrei, Chazal will convey that botanically the tree takes root and starts to actually grow properly during that period of time. So if it grew properly, even one single day, so that tree is then considered 1 year old. Then the day after Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, that tree is now in its second year. Okay, and that's how we count as far as the Isur of Arla, so that once it passes, in 2 years' time, it passes Rosh Hashanah, so then it becomes, the tree then becomes, is now in its fourth year, and enters the year called Ravai. Ravai, the halach of Ravai is that it is not Isur Hanah, but it has Kedusha. And what was originally required was to take the fruit to Yerushalayim and eat it b'tahara within the walls of Yerushalayim, very much like Maaseh Sheni. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit later. The point is, the fruit during the fourth year you could do a pidyon on, and the fruit themselves could be eaten once the kedusha is transferred onto money, onto coins. It's also relevant. Aleph Tishrei is also relevant as far as Trumot or Masrot, as far as vegetables and grain and beans are concerned, meaning that each year has a separate halacha when it comes to Trumot or Masrot. If I have time, I don't know if I have time at the end of this year, but if there's popular demand afterwards, I can go into the practical aspects of Hafrasha, Trumot or Masrot, how to do it, etc. But simply put, you have a 7 year cycle. The seventh year Shemitah, and then you have 6 years before that. So on the third and sixth year is Maser Ani year. That's the year that you have to be Mafish Maser Ani, instead of being Mafish Maser Sheni. Okay? So that's one big difference. In other words, if you have vegetables or grain that grow before Aleph Tishrei, so they're part of the previous year, as opposed to after Aleph Tishrei, if they would, let's say, grew a third after Aleph Tishrei, so they're considered part of the next year. Naftamina, are you chayv to be mafish ma'aser ani? Are you chayv to be mafish ma'aser sheni? You're also not supposed to be mafish even within ma'aser sheni. You're really not supposed to be mafish 1 year on the next, 1 year, 1 year's crop on the next year's crop. Okay? And lastly, it's significant as far as Shemitah is concerned. Aleph Tishrei is significant in that the year of Shemitah starts on the first day of Tishrei. From the first day of Tishrei, there's the Isur Melacha. You're not allowed to, you know, till the ground. You're not allowed to plant. You're not allowed to prune, etc., etc. You're not allowed to do the basic avodot of Shemitah. Shemitah starts in Aleph Tishrei. Okay, so those are the significance of Aleph Tishrei. This is all background to bring us to Tu B'Shvat. What is the essence of Tu B'Shvat? First of all, there's a machlokes between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai when this, I don't call it Chag La'ilanot, starts. According to Beit Hillel, it's Tu B'Shvat, but according to Beit Shammai, it's Aleph B'Shvat. Now, the rationale of Beit Hillel is that you have something called Tkufat Tevet. Tkufat Tevet is another way of saying winter. And Tkufat Tevet starts in Tevet. It's Tevet, Shvat, and Adar. Those are the rainy seasons in Israel. Smack in the middle of that of the rainy season is Tu B'Shvat. Okay? So that Tu B'Shvat is a point where the majority of the rain should have already have fallen. And that's why, that's basically how, according to Beit Hillel, how it boils down to Tu B'Shvat being a significant day. Now, you might ask that the lunar calendar pushes Tu B'Shvat back and forth by 11 days, you know, constantly back and forth, and it's not smack in the middle of the rainy season. True. But halachically, we kind of just make an assumption that that's the season, and that's what's koveh. The Yerushalmi seems to explain some kind of a botanical observation that trees sustain themselves on the previous year's rain up until Tu B'Shvat, and then on Tu B'Shvat they start drinking or absorbing or utilizing the present season's rain. You know, even if it's raining for 2 months before that, the trees don't really use it. Probably what the Yerushalmi is observing is that there's a certain dormancy in trees. In other words, when the cold season starts, they slow down, the growth slows down, becomes dormant. That's why certain trees, let's say, lose their leaves in the winter, in autumn, they lose their leaves because they become dormant. Even evergreen trees go into a certain level of dormancy where their growth rate slows down. And Tu B'Shvat, you could observe trees start to grow. Okay? We all know that Hashkevia Porachat, you know, everybody knows the song? Okay? So you can go out now and see, if you take a little tour in the area, you could see almond trees in their splendor flowering right now, right this week, because it is the week of Tu B'Shvat. The trees somehow know the date that it's Tu B'Shvat, and they start to grow. Now, the almond tree is unique in that it gives out a blossom, and then the fruit, so to speak, or the almond, only appears much, 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 much later. In other words, you could have other trees that will send out blossom and already start to bear fruit before the almond really starts to bear fruit. It's an interesting phenomenon. It might be, by the way, I'm just guessing, I don't really know, there might be the etymology of the word lishkod, which shaked means almond, but lishkod means to be diligent or zealous, because, in other words, the almond tree sends out a flower really, really early, even though the fruit comes a little bit later. But the point is, if you look, start walking around in nature and take a nature walk, you might notice that there are many trees that their buds are starting to form. They're starting to grow. And that's the observation that the Yerushalmi makes, that it therefore marks the new growth of the trees. Okay, what are the halachic implications of Tu B'Shvat? So as far as Ma'asrot, when it comes to trees, as I mentioned to you, there's a difference between Masa Sheni year and a Masa Ani year, meaning the third year and the sixth year is a Masa Ani year, where you'd be Mafrish a tenth. It's actually 9%, because first year Mafrish Masa Rishon, but you would be Mafrish a tenth, and on the third and sixth year you would give it to an Ani. On the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, it is Masa Sheni. Masa Sheni is a Maaser of a unique type that it has Kedusha. Okay, if you say on that, let these apples be Maaser Sheni, okay, they glow green. If you shut the lights and you look at them, you see that there's a Kedusha in them and they glow green, and there's an Isser for you to eat Maaser Sheni fruit. Okay, it's also to eat Maaser Sheni fruit unless you schlep it to Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim, and if you're Tahor, meaning you're not Tamei Meis, which you can't do until the Paraduma comes, then you'd be able to consume those fruits within the walls of Yerushalayim. And the Torah describes that, right, ki yirchak mimcha makom, or meaning that if it's too far to schlep all your Masa Sheni fruit, so the Torah gives an ace, the psukim explain that what you could do is you could put the kedusha or transfer the kedusha onto coins. So no one should chas v'shalom think that it's a rabbinic invention of pidyon. No, it's describing the psukim themselves, that you take the kedusha off the Masa Sheni fruit and you put it onto coins. So again, when it comes to fruit, so Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for fruit. As I explained, Tishrei was for vegetables and grain and beans. Tu B'Shvat is for fruit. So that if a fruit grows before Tu B'Shvat, it's part of the previous year. If it grows after Tu B'Shvat, it's part of the next year. Now, what defines growth as far as a fruit? So what defines it is Chanata. Chanata means that if you look at a bud, let's say an apple blossom, when if they start to fall off, you've all learned about the birds and the bees. There's no need for me to go to explain it all. I'll just talk about the bees part, okay? The bees go from flower to flower and they suck the nectar from each one of the flowers, right? And some of those flowers, right, the pollen falls onto the stamen and actually creates a zygote within the ovum of the flower, right? I think I explained it a little bit when we spoke about estrogen, right? Didn't I? Right? Okay. In any case, if you look at the flower, the base of the blossom is the ovum of the flower. And that ovum is what starts to swell if indeed a zygote or a seed is fertilized and then becomes a fruit. Not every blossom becomes a fruit. But the point is that when the blossom falls, that's when you could notice a teeny tiny, insy beansy, little teeny tiny, cute little apple at the base of that flower. When you could notice that apple, that is the eighth chanata. That's the moment of chanata. Okay? And if that happens, if that occurs after Tu B'Shvat, so it's part of the next year. If it happens, and this is an interesting thing, because this year, anybody know what year we are in the cycle right now?
Four.
Who said four?
No. Three.
Five.
I think it's three.
Well,
I could be wrong.
4 years ago was.
I think it's.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
I think we're into Maisa Ani right now, I think. I could be off, but I'll check before next time I'm Mafresh. In any case, let's assume for argument's sake that Tavshin Ayin Bet is a Maisa Ani year. Okay? In other words, once Rosh Hashanah came in, we're into Tavshin Ayin Bet. It's a Maisa Ani year. If you had, theoretically, I don't know, maybe you could have it in greenhouses or whatever. I don't think it actually happens now. I don't think you'll find Chanata happening right now. But if you have Chanata before Tu B'Shvat, like right now, let's say we could find an almond tree that the blossom's already falling off and you could somehow make out a teeny tiny almond. You have to be able to see the fruit. Then that fruit would really be Chayv and Masa Sheni, not a Maisa Ani, even though we're in a Maisa Ani year. See that? See what fascinating little tidbits of halacha we find? In other words, I know, it astounded you. So you could have a situation, if you have chanata, let's say today, if you could observe a chanata today, so that fruit would be chayav in Maaseh Sheni. Okay? Even though we are technically in a Maisa on a year. If a Chanata happens after Tu B'Shvat, meaning in 2 days' time, then that would be Chayav in Maisa Ani. That fruit, the resulting fruit, will be Chayav in Maisa Ani. Now, as it turns out, it doesn't happen. In other words, in Israel, you don't have trees that do the Chanata now, and you can't have half a tree Chayav in Maisa Ani and half in Maisa Sheni. But theoretically, it could happen. You know, if you walk around looking for, let's say, almond trees, it is possible, theoretically, especially with leaf years going a certain way and temperatures being a certain way, that you could have, let's say, half the tree reaching Chanata on one side of Tu B'Shvat and the other half on the other side of Tu B'Shvat, and then you'd have like a mixed tree of nuts, mixed nuts. where some nuts are Maisa Ani and some are Maisa Sheni. Now, what would a person do practically if that happened? So if you opened up your Rinat Yisrael, if you ever get to practically being Mafresh, you have like a line in there that if it's Chayav Maisa Sheni, let it be Maisa Sheni, and if it's Chayav Maisa Ani, let it be Maisa Ani. Okay? So that's the significance of Tu B'Shvat as far as Hafrashat Trumah of Maas wrote. It's also significant because, again, you should, even if you're in between 2 years that are Maaseh Sheni years, you're not supposed to be Mafresh from 1 year to the next. You're supposed to separate the fruit from 1 year to the next and not be Mafresh one on the other. Yes?
Chalata on Tu B'Shvat itself, which year does that belong to?
On the day itself?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's the next year. It's a Rosh Hashanah, you know. It's like Rosh Hashanah. I think it's already the next year. You concur? You concur?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's another nafka mina is Shemitah. Okay? It's the same issue. In other words, if theoretically, let's say we were already started the Shemitah year. Let's say this was a Shemitah year. So any fruit that was what did Chanata up until Tu B'Shvat would not have Kedushat Shviyat. Okay, even if it was growing on the tree now, let's say you could find, I don't know, an apple still growing on the tree, you can't, but let's say you could, it's behind. In other words, one could say, the way to look at it is, that the fruit lagged behind the schedule, so to speak, of Rosh Hashanah. It's a delayed Rosh Hashanah. You know, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't come until a few months after Tishrei, meaning on Tu B'Shvat. And therefore, it would have enough kamina for Kedushat Shviyat, and all the halachas that have to do with Kedushat Shviyat. As far as our law, it's a little bit of a machlok, but it's not. It's a machlok Rishonim. Basically, our law and Ravai run on as far as the age of the tree. Now, once the tree has celebrated its fourth birthday, let's say, then that year, anything that grows in that year is considered Ravai, so that theoretically you could have a situation that, in other words, if it passes Alf Tishrei, now it's in its fourth year, any fruit that has Chanata after that would be considered Ravai. And that's on the practical halachas of Tu B'Shvat. One interesting question is, what is the halachic status? A lot of you are thinking to yourself, this is not halach l'maisa. I don't have to know this stuff, right? When was I ever mafresh shumar maaser in my life that I would have to know this on a practical level? So one practical aspect of Tu B'Shvat is, does it have a status of a chag? Is Tu B'Shvat a chag or not? Who thinks it's a chag? Can you bring me a raya, Ezra?
I had a seder last year.
That proves that it's a chag? How do you know that it's a chag? What?
The Gemara talks about how it's like a Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but is it called chag? Oh, so the best raya that you could possibly have is a song. Other than that, you don't have much of a raya that it's a chag. Usually you have to have like Musaf or say Halel or something in order to classify something. Oh, so the nafkamina is it mevatel tanit, and does it have a din that you don't say tachnun on that day? So many of you shown him hold that it's not mevatel. Beis Yosef, as an example, paskins that Tu B'Shvat is not mevatel tanit, and therefore theoretically you should be saying tachnun. The Ramah mentions that the minhag is not to say tachnun on Tu B'Shvat. There's a Mordechai that points out that all the Rosh Hashanos that are mentioned in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about the various Rosh Hashanot, you don't say tachnun on those days. What about Erev Tu B'Shvat? In other words, tomorrow mincha, do we say tachnun or not?
No, we say tachnun.
Pardon me.
He
just paskened right in front of your Rebbe, just like that? Huh? Yosef?
Why did we not say today?
What?
Why did we not say
today? Okay. Anyways, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham both say clearly that although the Minhag Ashkenaz Ramah is not to say Tachnun on Tu B'Shvat, Erev Tu B'Shvat you do say Tachnun. However, I'm not guaranteeing that what the yeshiva will do tomorrow, because there are some that just reflexively, like as an example, Kaplan over there, say that if you don't say you don't say Tachnun on the day, you don't say Tachnun on Erev. But again, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah paskin that you do say on the Erev. You're supposed to say Tachnun. So we'll see what the yeshiva decides to do tomorrow. Yes?
When you mentioned that on Shemitah, that the trees don't have the yellow of the Shemitah until after Tu B'Shvat, does that mean that you can...
No, not the trees. Not the trees. The fruit. The fruit don't have Kedusha, and that's the Chanatah after Tu B'Shvat. The trees themselves, we have, you know, the halacha of not doing the malacha on, for sure.
You can't work the trees off.
Right. Okay. Any questions so far? Yeah.
Let us say that when we see the Rambam say that you shouldn't say Tachanun on the Minchah the day before the day you see Tachanun, they're actually making a mistake in that case. And I don't know, are there any other cases where that is a general mistake?
I don't know. I can't tell you offhand. Tu B'Shvat is the only one that I know of offhand. Now, a lot of you in your youth, in elementary school specifically, might remember Tu B'Shvat as a day where they give out little plastic bags filled with dried fruit and boxer or carobs, right? Something I discovered early on. They're extremely smelly. Okay, I remember in second grade getting a little bag of boxer and making brachos and making shachianu and things like that. The idea is that, I mean, where does this minna come from? Eating the boxer and the figs and the prunes. No one ate the prunes. Where does the minna come from? So the idea basically is to be Meshabeach Peret Eretz Yisrael. Okay? That's where the minna comes from. And in the old days, before refrigeration and quick shipping, the only way that the Jews of Galut could possibly make a bracha on Peret Eretz Yisrael was if it was like a dried fruit, like a date or a fig or a carob like that, because that would be the only thing that they could ship. They would have to dry it, and then they would be able to make a bracha on Peret Eretz Yisrael. Now, the irony is that the Minhag Yisrael has become such that Tu B'Shvat, everybody knows, you buy dry fruit, and that's what you're supposed to, that's how you're supposed to celebrate the Chag, by chewing on this dry fruit. Okay, no matter whether you like it or you don't like it, it's not important. The irony is that now that we are living in Eretz Yisrael, if you go to any of the stores, they're all filled with like dry fruit, eating dry fruit, and the double irony is that 90% of that dry fruit comes from places like Turkey, and some comes from California, that really, you know, have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael at all, and some of them are even a little hostile to Eretz Yisrael. I think that's a very ironic thing, that people are now, you know, just so blindly following the fiddler, so to speak, and you know, eating dry fruit that has no significance. And I tell my wife year after year, and we're married 27 years, year after year, don't buy dry fruit. Don't buy dry fruit. And I think I got it to a point where she's makbid to only buy dry fruit from Israel. She's careful. She reads that it's not from Turkey or California, but only from Israel. But like the tradition, you have to eat dry fruit on Tu B'Shvat, which is a silly thing. Yeah.
We mentioned this before in the earlier year, but is it also 30 days for Shechianu for new fruit?
Oh, I'm gonna get to the Shechianu thing. Yeah.
Was this like the Hanukkah primarily Ashkenazic thing?
What? I can't tell you. I can't tell you the Svaradim ate the dry fruit or not. I can tell you that the Svaradim definitely have a minhag. Some have a minhag of Seder Tu B'Shvat. Like the Mekubalim developed like a whole, you know, like a Seder out of it. And I can't tell, you know. Could ask Rav Gigi when he was a young lad in Morocco whether they ate dried, you know, fruit or not. Yeah.
First question is that, it doesn't make sense to eat fresh fruit that are not pure, that are not from the Shabbat, meaning eating dried fruit that are.
That's an interesting question. In other words, what you're saying is there surely should be a preference to be eating the shavaminim, those are the fruit that are that the Torah is mishabeach Eretz Yisrael. Definitely makes a lot of sense to do that, but I think there's a kiyum in eating an orange. You know.
But if from by itself.
If what?
If the orange is from by itself.
From Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're assuming we're living now in Eretz Yisrael, so. Yeah.
Yeah, my family menhag is to eat like fresh fruit, like any fruit, like not necessarily from Eretz Yisrael, like.
That's interesting. Are they makbid on this like every day of the year or only Tu B'Shvat? Okay, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I never heard that. All right. Anyways, now we talk a little bit about Shechiyanu, which is good because it fills in the shiur because there's not much halachos on Tu B'Shvat. So let's talk a little bit about the bracha of Shechiyanu itself. The bracha of Shechiyanu appears two places in Shas. One in Brachot. Okay, and there the connection, brachot nunchet, the connection is if a person sees his friend and he hadn't seen him for 30 days, so he makes a bracha on him. Okay, no, JJ, you don't bite into him after the bracha. But you could make a bracha on your friend. You can make a bracha shechiyanu if you haven't seen him for 30 days. Shechiyanu. If you haven't seen your friend for 30 days, as the Shulchan Aruch says, you make a shechiyanu. If you haven't seen a good friend for 12 months, then you make a mechayim etim. Baruch atah Hashem al kenu malcholam, mechayim etim. Okay? Mechayim etim meaning that you haven't seen him for 12 months. The Rashba, the Chuvah Rashba says, it has to be a close friend, number one, someone that you're really happy to see. And it has to be a friend that you haven't heard from or about in 12 months, which is very hard nowadays with the, you know, global village and you know, texting and etc. And Facebook, it's very hard to have a close friend. If he's a close friend, then how come you haven't heard from him, you know, in 30 days or 12 months? But anyways, you would have to have not heard from him in that amount of time. And then you would be able to, then you make a mechayim etim. Because the idea being that if you haven't heard from someone for 12 months, it's kind of like almost emotionally, so to speak, as though he is not alive in your mind. And then all of a sudden, now you see him, you feel that he's been resurrected before your eyes. Yes?
Does the 30-day rule also have the qualification that you haven't heard from them? Or
yes.
Them?
Yes. Yes. Okay? And yes, you can make this with Shem or Malchot. I haven't found Achronim that say that is not a minhag to do it, although, you know, with some of these brachot, the Mishaburu would point out, oh, this Achron or that Achron says we're not Noheg to make this bracha. I haven't found anybody that says you're not Noheg, and therefore you are Noheg. What about other events? What about other happy events, like making Aliyah? Okay, should you make a Shechiyanu on making Aliyah? Should you make a Shechiyanu on getting married, right? So this is a very, very interesting question. Surely, logically, you know, an event like, you know, getting married should be at least as important as meeting a fruit that you haven't seen for a year or something like that. Definitely more important than meeting a friend after 30 days that you're so happy not seeing that friend for, you know, you all of a sudden see him for 30 days and you make the brach. Now, that's a swara to say that you should make it. A swara to say that you shouldn't make shechiyanu on a wedding or an aliyah could be that there's no cheftza that's stimulating your happiness. As when you see a friend, it's kind of again like seeing a fruit you haven't seen for so long. There's a cheftza that focuses your happiness, your friend. Masha'en kain, when it comes to the act of the wedding, there's no real cheftza that's focus on, huh? No, but the point is, it's not that a certain amount of time went by that you haven't seen your fiance, etc., like 30 days or a year, and it could. That's as far as to say not. There are, as far as I know, and I've done research on this. As far as I know, there are not. There's not clear poskim that say to make a bracha of shechiyanu then. The only person I was able to find that seems to go in that direction is the Kaf HaChaim, that says that when a person reaches bar mitzvah, that it's like a person could make a shachianu, as when a person reaches, I think, the age 70 or something like that, a person could also make a shachianu, because again of the happiness of that moment. And according to that rationale, it would make a lot of sense to be able to make a bracha on shachianu, or on aliyah, or to make a bracha on a wedding. My suggestion is to do what most people do, and when on weddings that you've seen shachianu, usually what the Rav tells the chatan and the kala is to be mechavein on some object or some piece of clothing that normally would be chayv shachianu anyway, and kind of make one bracha and be mechavein also to the wedding. And the chatan being let's say a new talit that he didn't wear at all even the week before, and the kala being her ring that she could make a shachianu on. I've had friends that made close friends that made aliyah that I went to the airport to greet them, and in my hand I brought some mangoes in order that they could make a shachianu on the aliyah and on the mango at the same time. Yes.
What's it doing when they have mango?
I had it happen to me. The first time it happened to me, that he already had a mango. I told him that his wife should make it and be mechamed to be motzi him, and he'll answer amen. Yeah.
If you meet your wife for the first time under the chuppah, would that be smart to make the shechian?
But then it could be. It could be machmir like that in order for you to be able to make the bracha properly. It's a good chumra.
You make the shechian on Birk Tegerson.
I'm sorry.
Birkas to Erison. You say Birkas to Erison. The Rambam says they say Rav Shem Kinder Rachamam. Shasulan as the Rishas the Hitchalan and so on. And then you say Shachianu, and then you get the ring.
I remember that Rambam. I don't remember the Shachianu, but I will. You want to look it up. You could look it up. I'll give it to you to look up.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll let you use Rav Lichtenstein's Rambam. Don't drop it. Yes, Zach.
If your simcha is like our wedding, it's shared. So
if what?
Like the simcha, our wedding is shared, so why would you make it so far?
Good question. It's a good question. Again, if you'd be making one person making a bracha on a wedding, you're 100% right. The thing is that because we're nohik to be machmir on having this article of clothing, and on the article of clothing, you don't make a tova meitiv normally, so that's why people make the shachianu. But as an example, the Kaf HaChaim says on the bar mitzvah, even a bat mitzvah, he suggests that a person should wear a new suit of clothes, new clothing, and make the shachianu on both. Okay. Anyway, the other place that the Gemara mentions shachianu is in Erev and Daf Mem, and there is Haroeh Pri Chadash. So it's interesting that the Mishnah in Brachor is Haroeh Tchavero, and the Mishnah in Erevin is Haroeh Pri Chadash. They both seem to be Birchat Re'ia. Yes.
So, like you said, like in the case where you should make a shechianu on something else, like you should make it on the suit. So when can you make it? Do you have to make the shechianu as soon as you put the suit on?
I'm gonna get to that right now. Right now. Anyway, the Gemara in Erevin says Haroeh Pri Chadash is Mavrach Shechianu. And then it says that it doesn't make a difference if you see it in the hands of your friend or you see it on the tree. Pshat of that Mishnah and the Gemara that follows it, pshat is that you're making a Shechianu on the new season. It's not just on the Pri, it's almost like that the Pri is signifying the new season for that particular Perok. In any case, the Shulchan Aruch says that even though the Gemara says that you're supposed to make a bracha as soon as you see it, the Shulchan Aruch says the minig is to make the bracha b'shat achila. The rationale of the minhag is that the simcha that a person gets when biting into the fruit is much greater than the simcha the person gets just seeing the fruit, and therefore the hana'a is greater, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says the minig is to wait till you eat it, not when you see it. The Ramah, however, says that if a person makes a bracha when he first sees it, is eino mafsid, meaning if you follow the Gemara and you walk outside and you see a new fruit in the season, It's the first time you see that fruit, so you could go ahead and make a shachianu even if you don't bite into it, even if you're not going to eat it. Now, if you follow the popular minhag of eating it, so the Prima Garden points out, and this is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens, that the proper order is to first make a shachianu and then afterwards to make a Birchas Hananim. The rationale being that since Mi'ikar Din of the Gemara, the seeing is the Mechayev, so you really were Chayev the Shechianu right away, earlier, right? Before you actually bit into it. And therefore, you could hold the fruit and make a Shechianu, and then afterwards you make a Birchas Hananim. However, the Prima Garden points out that if you did it the other way around, let's say you held onto the fruit with intention of making a Shechianu, but you ended up making a Bari Kriya eggs, the Prima Garden says it's not a hefsek if you go ahead and then follow it with a shechianu, because the shechianu is really part of your act of eating, your intention of eating, and therefore it's not considered mafsek between the Birchas Hananin and the eating. If a person eats a fruit that he hasn't eaten in that season, and by the way, you're not talking about 365 days apart, but just the new fruit of that season. If the apple season theoretically would stretch 6 to 7 months, so then you know you could have 5 months in between of not having an apple. That's not relevant. The point is you eat an apple that's new in the season. So if you ate an apple and you forgot completely to make a shachianu, the next time you eat an apple, you wouldn't make a shachianu. However, if you walk past an apple tree, seeing apples growing for the first time, and you forgot to make a shachianu, the second time you saw them growing, you would be able to make a shachianu, and clearly if you decided to eat them. Okay? It has to be a pre shemitchadesh mi'ona la'ona, a pre that is new from season to season, and this creates a little bit of a challenge with today's global village once again. Okay, another challenge of the global village when it comes to shachianu, being that in many economies the fruit is imported from all over the world, so that in many places you could buy an orange or every day of the year from different parts of the globe, or an apple for sure, apples which are often stored in cold storage nowadays. You know, it becomes almost a suffix whether you're eating last year's apples or this year's apples. It causes a problem. And if you have a suffix, obviously you would not make a shechianu. It would have to be a fruit that's new to the season. So in Israeli economy, as opposed to the European or American economy, it's rare to have a lot of imported fruit. And therefore, you get into less questionable. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Does not say shachin or says aliyayin, then not.
Okay, there's no shachin. Okay. Anyway, so in Israel you'll have less of a problem. In other words, when the orange season starts, you can make a shachianu. When the, I don't know, the clementina or tangerine season starts, you make a shachianu, etc. Whenever the beginning of the season starts, even the watermelon season, some people say, oh, but watermelon is a boy priyadama, and it is indeed. But there's no reason why not to make a Bari Kriya Adama. There are some achronim that say, oh, the minhag is not to make a Bari Kriya Adama. But there are other achronim that explain that the reason why there's a minhag of not making a Bari Kriya Adama is because the vast majority in Europe, the vast majority of Adama things were things like potatoes and onions that were stored throughout the entire year, and therefore there's no minhag of making a shachianu on a new potato or making a shachianu on a new onion, because it wasn't noticed to be a seasonal thing because they always stored it for long periods of time. Nowadays also, even in Israel, we have hothouses, things like, you know, cucumbers and peppers and whatever, which definitely have a short shelf life. But again, we usually find them, they're available the entire year through because of the hothouses. And that would be challenging whether to make a shechianu. But strawberry season, okay, is a clear season, even though it's an Adama. It is a machloket, but 99% of the poskim say that strawberries is Adama. Pardon me? Are we okay? We're good? Okay, let's say it. Even if you make an Adama, you make a shachin on a strawberry, you make a shachin on a watermelon, as long as the seasons are clear. Questions? None? Oh, one more thing. If you have something like a red cherry or a white cherry, or a red, let's say a sweet cherry and a sour cherry, those are two different meanings. In other words, just even if you made a shechianu on a sweet cherry, if later you're going to have a sour cherry, you can make a shechianu. Okay, because they're considered two separate meanings. So quite often, even with citrus fruits, you have, let's say, an orange and a tangerine, clementina. They're two different fruits, and you make a shechianu. There's some poskim that hold that it's not proper to make a shechianu on fruits that are grafted in order to, you know, it's fruits that were man-made or create or man, what's the proper word, engineered. They were engineered by mankind. You don't make a shechianu on those fruits. Yes.
So earlier in the year, I was at the shoot in Tel Aviv, and it's very hard to find to go there for like fruit that like that are in truman most you taken off. And you know, because I really had much experience with it before, I just didn't buy anything. But afterwards, like, my Israeli chavruta told me that, you know, you like it's very easy, you just buy the fruit and take up the truma and maaser, like and then you get home or whatever. So could you maybe go over the process of nowadays what you have to do in order to take off truma and maaser?
I'm willing to spend 10 minutes explaining it, but I don't want to keep people here if they're not interested in knowing the process. So after the next question, I could, you know, guys who want to leave or don't want to follow, you know, how to be mafreshu and masrot, they could leave, but I'll also need a marker. So in the meantime, if you sprint quickly to one of the classrooms and get a marker for me. Wait a second. Yes, questions. So I'm finished this portion. Now I'm taking questions, and then we'll talk about how to be Mafia Shulam Masur. Yeah.
Juices, do we assume there are different members every time? There are different members every time we eat actually?
I don't think you should. I don't think we. The minhag is to make a shakyan on juice.
No, I'm saying, but if you had a juice, can you make shakyan on?
Oh, that's a good question. I saw that once. If you drank the juice, let me look it up. You remind me. I'll look it up later. Yeah.
Are say green and red apples considered different?
I think they are a different minhag. Yeah. Yes.
Regarding shechianu on a good friend, is the definition? Is there a definition?
What is that? What is a good friend? You ask.
Is there a definition?
A friend in need.
Subjective.
Huh?
Is it subjective or is there a definition?
Subjective. It's subjective. You just have to be like really happy to see him. Okay. Yeah.
Do the properties of the fruit or whatever you're eating or drinking have anything to do with it? Meaning for the kosher, can you make a shechianu on the actual yayin there because it's
No. It has to be wine. Yeah.
Are we going to discuss here too?
What? I don't know that much about it. It's Kabbalistic. It's Kabbalistic. You know, you can get like a sheet that tells you do this, do that, do this, do that.
I told you didn't work with
someone. Huh?
I was told a whole Seder Jewish guy includes 4 cups of wine.
There's some people that never pass up a chance to drink. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you should be making shechianu. I think it's too much of a suffix brachos to do. Okay, very quickly. Let's say you've gone to the shuk and shook in Tel Aviv. Well, let's say, and it's rare, in other words, the truth is that you're in situations that you should always have some two dot kashrut. But let's say in a situation you can't. Okay? Or you're in the shuk, you want to buy, and there's no two-da of hafreshot, tumor maso, which you should always look for it. You know, so if you go to a fruit store, you should ask, do you have a two-da? If they say no, you should go elsewhere. But if you have no choice, well, let's say someone gives you an apple that grew up. Someone from a long shvut gives you an apple that grew on their tree. You pluck it off the tree and they give it to you, and you want to know how to be matzah shu and a matzah. So first of all, you should know. Well, let's say shuas time, you go to the cherry festival in Rosh Surim, and you for 20 shekel or 30 shekel, whatever it is, you get to pick and eat all you can eat. So the first thing you want to know is that if you're in the field If you're in the field and you pick an apple or a cherry, whatever, you're not chayav doing matzah shumah maaser. You're allowed to eat it straight. The only time you're chayav shumah maaser is if you do a gemar melacha or if you bring it into your home. A gemar melacha might be, in the case of cherries, is if you put it into a container and close the container, that might have a din of gemar melacha. Or bring it into a house would also be machayv would be koveya. You wouldn't be able to eat the fruit until you're mafresh. You would have a din of tevel. Tevel is yisrachila. In other words, it's mamish treif. If you would cook with that apple or whatever without being mafresh, the kalim would become treif, and you'd have to be either machshir the kalim, or another trick you could do is you could be mafresh on the tevel that's below in the kalim. You know, there's a way of doing. Anyway, let's get to being mafresh. Let's say you buy a bag of apples. You know, to make it easier. Let's say you have a square apple. Okay? Very large square apple. And you want to eat the apple. So there are a number of things you have to be mafresh. I'll make the list first. Truma Gedola, okay, Maaser Rishon, Trumat Maaser, and then either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, as you said, the third. And the 6 years is Masa on you. One of those two. Okay? So you gotta be mafish these four hafrasha. The first thing you mafish is Truma Gedola. The reason why it's called Truma Gedola, why is it Gedola?
Because you don't have to Masa first.
No.
And Masa is not.
The reason why it's called Truma Gedola is because it's a euphemism. It's Sagi Nohar. It's because it's so small. Mikra Din. Nikra din, an epsilon, the tiniest amount of the fruit, would be enough for Truma Gedola. You'd be Yotza Truma Gedola. That's why it's called Truma Gedola. So the first thing you're going to do, unfortunately I don't have enough time to explain Makoros and too much about it, but I'm trying to get to the practical thing. Take out a plastic bag. Take out a knife. And then you cut off from this apple what you estimate to be more than 1%. Place it in the bag. Everybody got it so far? We're good? You estimate, it has to be at least 1%. If you bid an estimation, you take 3%, it's also okay. Alright? And then you say the following. And by the way, this nusach you could find in the Greenat Yisrael right after Shachrit, in the beginning of Bracha. Okay? The first thing you say is this. You say, when I just put it in the bag, whatever is more than 1%, I want it to be Truma Gedola. So let's say, you know, you don't do that. You did 1.5% or something like that. So what happens, as soon as you say those words, a halachic line appears across there. And this, by the way, is the 1%, this part over here. But you just said, whatever's more than 1%, let it be Truma Gedola. All of a sudden, this starts to glow, a red glow. Okay? This little piece here, this piece is Truma Gedola. Then you say, the remaining 1% that's in the bag, okay, that's nothing so far, plus 9 parts like it in the top of the perot, and a halachic line appears like over there, let that become Maaser Rishon. Now Maaser Rishon, in the good old days, used to go to the Levi. Doesn't go to the Levi anymore, because Levium don't really know that they're Levium for sure. They're not miuchas. And that's why Levim don't get it. In any case, you say, let that be Maaser Rishon. This is 9 parts, and this is the 10th part of the Maaser Rishon. Okay, this is now Maaser Rishon. Next step, okay? This is Maaser.
So what do you do with it?
Rishon. Nothing so far. Don't do anything.
It's still
exactly what I say. Okay? Next step. Step 3. You then say, that 1% that I made Maaser Rishon, let that 1% that's in the bag become Truma Maaser. And then it starts to glow red. because red is a color of truma. Okay? It's not to go red in the bag. So what you have in this, contained in this bag, is two types of truma. Truma gedola and truma maser. Okay? And you put it in the bag beforehand in order not to get any, you know, radiation anywhere else. It's in the bag. Now, you then go to the payroll or to the pre, and you say, if this year is a maser, sheni year, so let the bottom nine parts, or nine remaining parts, a tenth of what's remaining, let it become maser sheni. A halachic line appears, and this then would become maser sheni. Okay? And then you say, if it's a maser on a year, let it become maser on. And then becomes maaser. You don't even have to know whether it's a maaser sheni or maaser ani, because you use the if tonight, the if statement, and then it's maaser ani. Now, if it's maaser ani, okay, and you bought it in the shuk, so both if an ani knocks on your door, or if a lady claims he has a shtar yuchsin and he knocks on the door, you could say hamotz mechaver alvaraya. You can't prove to me that this apple was tevel anyway. I bought it in the shuk. I don't know if someone was mafish or not. Okay. If you're growing it in your own house and you know for sure it was chayav, or if you were mafresh and you let's say pick your cherries from where, then you get into an issue of masa ani. How am I going to give this to the aniyim? How am I going to give this part of an apple to an ani without him slapping me in the face? Okay, or a bag or whatever it is. But you know, if it's a whole bunch of cherries, you might be able to find an ani and give him a bag of cherries. What people do nowadays is they make an arrangement. I don't have time to explain it. They make an arrangement with a person that's in charge of, let's say, a poor fund, and they kind of are mezake the fruit to the ani, and then they buy, with the permission of this person who's part of the fund, you buy the fruit back from the ani, and you give later on you give the ani the money. Okay, that's how I do it with my fruit and my Pater Mordechai vineyards. Okay? But if it's Maaser Sheni, another thing happens. I don't have a green marker, so you can't really see it. But it starts to grow, green. Because Maaser Sheni has Kedusha. You can't eat Maaser Sheni. So now you have half an apple that's normal, half an apple that's glowing. What do you do? So what you do is, you take out a coin, and this coin, in most cases, has to be, if you're talking about one apple, this amount is less than a Shavu'ot Pruta. If it's less than a Shavu'ot Pruta, it won't be chal on a regular coin, unless the coin is an experienced coin that already had Kedusha and Maaser Sheni from before, which is normally called a Pruta Chamura. In most cases, if you're talking about more than two apples, it's definitely more than a Shavu'ot Pruta. And you basically say, let all the Kedusha of this Maaser Sheni go on to, be careful, one Pruta of this coin. So now, one Pruta of a coin starts to glow green, and this no longer is glowing. Okay? Now, this entire apple could be consumed. And the only thing you have to do here is tie a knot in that bag and very gently put it into the garbage. And that's how you might for Shulman and Masro. And if you forgot anything I just said, you can open up the Reed Israel and go through the Nusach. The Nusach itself walks you through it, and you'll be able to see what's happening. We don't want to be late for Mario.